Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yo, what's up? Alt in Our Stars podcast. That's the name of the show. My name is Chris Payne. I'm your host. This is Billboard's weekly alternative music themed podcast. This week's episode is with an artist called Yesayer. They're a band. There's three of them, three guys. I've been into them for a while. They've been around almost 10 years, and I'd say, like, pretty much got in on the ground floor with these guys. I was listening to them a while ago, and this is the first time that I've ever interviewed them, so did some looking back on what they've been into over all these years. They have a new album coming out. It's called Amen and Goodbye. You should check it out. But honestly, for a band that's about to put out a new record, they didn't really talk a ton about the album, which I think they were okay with. And I was okay with it too, because this was really fun. Talked about a whole lot of different things. We discussed a lot about just how New York has changed over the years, because I lived in New York for the past 3 years. These guys have been there a good while longer, so interesting things to discuss all around. Talked about Billy Joel a lot, kind of randomly. Talked about how the guys in Yesayer have certain views on how people write about their music, star ratings, number ratings, all that. We talked about the journalism game. Pretty interesting talk. I think you'll enjoy it. Also, if you like what you hear, maybe this is your first time listening, head on over to iTunes. You can either click the iTunes link in the bottom of the story or search for the Alt in Our Stars on iTunes. There you can subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to all the old episodes. We've been doing this for over a year, so there's lots to listen to. Some recent stuff we've had on the show, Ra Ra Riot, Borns, Chairlift, a lot of interesting stuff to listen to, the back issues of Alt in Our Stars. Also, if you could give us a star rating, that's just super, super helpful for everything we do with the podcast. But I'm done with that little spiel. Hope you enjoy the show. Yesayer on the Alt in Our Stars. Check it out. Alt in Our Stars podcast. Here in the Billboard office, chatting with Yesayer. What's up, guys? Whole band here.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Should we introduce ourselves?
Let's do it. Introduce yourselves, and it might be tough for you guys, but the best way in like 10 seconds to say what you do in the band.
Okay, I'm going to be panned left, right? All right, on the left side of your speaker, on the left side, it's Anand Wilder, guitarist extraordinaire of Yesayer. Panned hard left.
I believe I'm center. Is that right? Am I the center channel? No? Yes? Okay, yes. I'm getting a yes. This is Ira Wolf Tuton. I'm a bass player.
Chris Keating. I sing.
Play samplers sometimes.
Word. So we're all here promoting new album, Amen and Goodbye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like with Yesayer, the first three albums are much closer together in time. This one's
you
few years
that
after,
and you would be
and
right.
It's true. Yeah. And if you looked
That's
at a
fact.
If you looked yeah. at a Wikipedia page of dates, it would confirm that.
Never trust
I feel because I feel like the first album came out a long time ago, and then the second one was like farther after that, and then the third one was like
right kinda, after,
kinda like right after that one, and then this one seems like it was like just a couple weeks later. It just feels that way.
Huh.
To me.
So,
but I think that's just the sense, my sense of time as I get older.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, like, do you feel like, since, you know, the last one was 2012, it's 2016 now, do you feel like a different era for the band, maybe a trilogy here and just the start of something new?
A trilogy?
Yeah.
The this first would thing be, could be a trilogy. One of three?
This one, the last, the first three.
Oh, we've finished the trilogy.
Yeah.
No, they don't really work together. They all have their own little distinct personalities. Wow. I think it's just, you know, we try to do some different things. Take a little take a little pause. Touring, life, recalibrating. You know, wanted to make
do a lot of recalibrating.
Yeah, lots of recalibrating. I need like every time I get on the subway, I need at least a week off after that. That's like my stress level right now. I just cannot. I can't deal.
Yeah.
You know what I? You know what I just did on the subway? Put my earplugs in and started reading.
You gotta
not
talk into your microphone.
Put my earplugs in.
You gotta put earplugs in on the subway. It's the safest thing. And, do you wear earplugs on the subway?
Occasionally, most of the time. Sure. Yeah.
It's a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just zone out.
Yeah. But yeah, not with the smartphone. Just with the hard cover. Actually, the soft cover. But
what's so stressful about the subway for you?
People. It's loud. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of sad people. A lot of sadness. I kind of like some of the sadness.
Yeah, subways are like, much more sad than
like
happy.
Right tonight, this is the biggest stress of my week is I got to take the subway home probably right around rush hour and witness. The morning commute is a little hopeful. If you do something in the morning, midday is cool. When you have to get on that train and that right at that sweet spot.
Yeah.
It's the weird time, I feel like. I'd rather just, like, stay and hang out for hours.
I mean,
and then catch a late night or, like, a later evening.
Or you just start walking.
Or just start walking because I don't want to see that 6:30.
I don't like it when you have to make that decision. Like, I think I'll wait for the next train.
Yeah. I mean, my commute is Grand Central Station nearby where we are now during rush hour and then to Union Square and then to the L in Williamsburg. So it's basically like a trio.
Heavy duty.
You got that bad heavy duty. L.
So what are you going to do? Tell me about those.
What are you going to do when it closes?
Oh, dude.
How are you going to commute?
That's 3 years.
Like
really,
yeah,
3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What's your plan? You got a plan now to be ready
early
later.
Early 2018.
What's that?
Early 2018. I'm going to bask in how. Well, see, you guys have been in Brooklyn a lot or New York a lot longer than me.
Yeah. How long have you been here?
Last 3 years, a little more than 3 years.
Where'd you come from?
From New Jersey, central New Jersey, just nice. Outside metro area.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've been here for like 10, 11 years.
Where did you guys, when you first started doing Yay Sayers, I guess it's like 2006
2005.
Where did you guys live in New York?
I lived in south. I lived above this bar called Montero's, which is at the very end of Atlantic Avenue.
Oh, wow. I've done karaoke a bunch of times there. Yeah.
I lived they not in the same
it.
Building, but
yeah, they still do it.
I actually went by there yesterday. Still the open. Still happening.
Saturday night karaoke. It's not really hopping, but it's a thing.
No, it's yeah. fun. It's That's cool. where we named the band.
That's where we met.
That's where I Ira first met the first Ira. Time.
Yeah.
On That's his birthday.
On my birthday. We named on him. My 17th yeah, birthday.
He drove up onto the curb, and I was like, Chris, this is my friend. He's like, that like, guy's
this
crazy.
This guy's a real psycho. Anyone that drives up on the curb right in front of Montero's. Yeah. So, no, that was... Yeah,
you got to go, you got to go.
The first spot. And then we recorded our first album in South Brooklyn, like, what's it? Greenwood Cemetery, next to Greenwood Cemetery.
Right, yeah, and I live in Sunset Park when I first moved to the city,
Where?
So... 53rd Street and like
you're in it.
The last like bunch of residential apartments before it turned to factories and warehouses.
Like on 3rd Ave or 4th Ave.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But now what's that whole Sunset Park development called?
I've not been back there much
what?
Since. I do not like
down,
know.
Down by the water?
The Williamsburg
yeah,
movie.
I got to Williamsburg. And
that's where they do the flea now, right?
Yeah.
Down by the water.
It's really all built up now.
Very different. Okay.
No more prostitutes on 3rd Avenue. Do you ever see the Steven Seagal movie that there's a chase scene all on 3rd Avenue, all down there in the 40s and 50s? I think it's called Out for Justice. It might be called Mark for Death or Hard to Kill. But
okay.
In one of those. I think it's Out for Justice.
A few different options.
Out for Justice, I think, is the one where he has the beret and he's a big chase scene all Sunset Park. Mm-hmm. Just check it out.
So when the band was first doing shows in the city, even though you were based more, seems like, South Brooklyn. I'm guessing the shows are more North Brooklyn.
Well, our first couple of shows were actually
city.
In Manhattan.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Played like Lorelei, which is this German restaurant in the
Bowery.
Basement.
Bowery Poetry Club.
That was the first one.
Yeah. Cake Shop. A lot of shows at
that
Cake
was the
Shop.
Acer. Mm-hmm. So many with Cake Shop still open?
Yeah.
Did a lot of shows.
He was
there.
Like our
Mercury Lounge, maybe.
Nope.
No, we rarely did. I think
only
we did
once,
Mercury Lounge much later. That it was part of. Was that part of tours? Maybe.
I would say Cake Shop was the one that we played the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not as many. Some gigs in Williamsburg, obviously, wherever. But
Glass
House, Glasslands.
Glass House.
Oh,
Glasslands.
Don Pedro's.
Okay.
glass lens before it was like a vice office.
Yeah. Like some top P stuff.
Yeah.
Some top
a little
P.
Bit.
Yeah.
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 We actually rented.
We didn't
from
really
Todd
do
P.
that much Todd P. We rented a practice space. From
no,
Todd
we would
P.
get we would okay. get opening slots for Todd P. approved bands.
Yeah, that's the bands would ask us to play. Yeah.
So this is, I guess, kind of you're talking about a time just before All Our Symbols, leading up to this, like 06, 07.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We met Jason in 06, who put out our first record.
Okay.
We Are Free. Now it's We Are Free Management.
Okay. So in all this time, because you all still live in New York?
Kind of.
Yeah,
kind
so
of in and around.
More or less.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I spend most of my time upstate.
Okay, so the state of New York.
I live in, we all yeah. live in New York State.
New York, yeah. It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
is he still playing Madison Square Garden as we speak?
Like, who, Billy?
Yeah. Billy?
Is that still going on?
His monthly residency?
Yeah.
Is that going on still? Yes. I'm getting a yes.
Yes, all right, it is. Yes.
It's happening. It is. Super fan in the room.
So does he just does that until he drops dead, or is there no like limit on that?
That's a very morbid way of putting it.
Well, everyone
That's
does.
Not morbid
Everything
at all. If I could be flying in to play shows at Madison Square Garden when I'm, what is he, 63 or something?
I have no idea.
That's
yeah.
not morbid at all. That's a beautiful, 60s. Beautiful way of spending yeah. your 60s.
Yeah,
I mean, I was front row for him at Bonnaroo last year. I had a blast.
Yeah, he's a, yeah. I mean,
little,
he's got
a lot of songs.
Lot of songs.
A lot of songs.
Yeah, he's got songs. So in all the ways I'm thinking, talking about early New York, gigging around, you were all living in the city.
Early New York for us.
I yeah.
it was called New Amsterdam. Stuyvesant was there.
The Pequot Native American.
So basically what I'm getting at is how have you seen change?
Oysters the size of your forearm plucked out of the Hudson. And then Henry came along on his ships and ruined everything. Okay, sorry. How have we seen New York change?
Besides the name change, the titular change from New Amsterdam to New York.
Oh, man.
Besides yeah. that.
Let me tell you, honey, the 20s in New York were amazing.
New
York changes so
hyper-development.
Fast.
Yeah, we've seen
so
Williamsburg
fast.
Change in a crazy way.
Development of the places that the place where we mixed our first record is now the back of a J. Crew.
That was TV on the Radio studio at the time. They had a place there, and that's yeah. a J. Crew store now.
It's like that Simpsons where the homeless man turns into a fire hydrant, you know, in the video for the Harbor Place. It I feels that it, way many times.
I find it weird and depressing, but I get really nostalgic for places. Not even just not Brooklyn places, just like other places that were just always around when I was a teenager visiting New York, and now they're not there anymore.
And is this more Manhattan, I guess?
I mean, mostly that, you know, certainly like the Williamsburg places that have changed were, and you don't want to be like the old guy who bemoans change, but it is like, I just, some of the places I
sound,
miss.
Sure sounds like it right now.
Just miss some of the like, yeah, I was like, oh man, yeah. Pro paint. It's just a lot of Manhattan stuff.
Yeah.
That's weird that's some of those things, like those institutions are gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also always the artistic institutions that go first.
Right, right, they've been around for a long time. It was a rapid, it was a decade of like, boom,
yeah.
boom, boom, all those are gone. And some of the places I liked a lot.
Yeah, and the time when the band started would have been just at the start of the era where like lower Manhattan had firmly shifted from the artistic place and giving that to the north side of Brooklyn, I'd say.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, that's I think even we say, were, yeah. we, I think we were probably... That's the thing, like, we can't claim any first-generation status on Williamsburg whatsoever.
No.
We just can claim, like, there were still some cool parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you look at, like, a movie...
Williamsburg
like,
was over in 2002.
Yeah. Johnny Suede, if you watch that movie with Brad Pitt, and Catherine Keener, and Samuel Jackson from, like, 1990, is all Greenpoint and Williamsburg, people in bands, and man, that really... that really seemed like... That really seemed like a cutting edge scene at that point.
Yeah.
89, 90, being in a band, even a fake band with Brad Pitt, that's what the movie's about. But, you know, it was that's like, I feel like that was kind of a good first artistic generation moving over there.
Yeah. And did you guys have your own studio? Was it in Sunset Park?
Yeah,
or somewhere near there?
We had a space, yeah.
And do you still have that?
No.
Okay.
But it still exists.
Okay.
It's still an apartment that's been passed down. And we know the like guy who holds the lease. Yeah. And I went there the other day, and it's just like exactly the same wallpaper.
That's weird. Hmm. Yeah.
Because we built those walls with these hands.
We built these.
You guys did a great
terribly
job.
Built walls.
Good job. Ira, well, you taught us. So
I
it's
did.
Your fault,
no, well, I, but I wasn't there while you were doing it, so I set my children free.
You taught me how to do very bad insulation,
yeah.
I guess.
I tell you how to do really bad sheetrock taping. Yeah. Yeah, one coat will do.
Cool, let's drop in some music. This is I Am Chemistry off the new album.
Oh, here we go.
So let's see. We were talking about time spent in between albums. So I'm interested. The last album before this one, Fragrant World, was 2012. So when you guys kind of wrapped up the cycle for that album, did you start work on music for this album right after, or did you just sort of take some time for life and other things?
Probably work. You like, there's no real start or end date, you know? Hmm. Shows kind of, it's not like a tour ends and it's just over. Or an idea for an album begins and it just starts one day. So you're kind of working on it. You have a couple of weeks off. Maybe try to write a song. Maybe not. If it's only a couple of weeks, try to work a little in recording. But then like more shows pop up, random things. You could extend a tour for years.
Yeah.
Years. Like you really could like, this is a very large world of places to play music, you know? So it's like, I mean, going to Australia and things like that.
Okay.
Going to South America. And then trying to work on some music, and then eventually you put a hard end date on it. I feel like we put a hard end date on shows and they just kept kind of coming up here and there.
Okay. Because I think some artists are more or less opposed to just one-off shows when you're not like actively touring behind an album. But it seems like for you guys, just like you're down with just a continuous stream of, oh, we'll do this.
I guess, yeah.
Is that what it seems like? Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Jeez.
We seem cheap and...
Yeah. Go anywhere.
Those guys are desperate for anything.
A buck.
They'll play whatever.
Yeah.
Bar mitzvahs. We'll play your daughter's christening. Yeah.
And bat mitzvahs as well.
Yeah, can't be discriminated.
Bat mitzvahs, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, after touring, we went into the studio pretty soon after.
Yeah.
Right? We were doing some recording here. Trying to get as many days as we could for free.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, we did some experimenting and then hunkered down.
Working it out.
A lot of stuff at home. We all have our own studios at home. Okay. So.
A lot of personal time necessary when you're living on a bus with your absolute favorite people in the world of all time.
You need some time to get off that bus and just be back to like calling each other every day. You know?
And that's sort of how you guys write a lot of time apart from each other, sending each other
I'll
clips
like,
and stuff.
I'll call Ira and be like, what do you think of this melody, man? Scooby doo doo.
And I'll be like, how about this?
And I'll be like, we got to get to the studio right away.
Yeah.
Book it.
Book it.
Yo, book. Keating, drums.
Book the time.
Yeah. Who are we going to get to produce this?
Yeah, nice little. I just saw that.
I don't know. Somebody with a made up name.
Have you guys seen that movie Whiplash?
Yes.
Did you enjoy that?
Torture.
What the hell is that?
It's kind of torture. I did enjoy it mostly. I mean,
is this like that world?
Yeah, I think it's real.
Oh,
it's
that bad. World it exists. Based on true story. Definitely.
Yeah.
If someone, all I could think of is someone were to talk to me like that, I would punch him in his throat. I'm not a violent
person. Well, he does.
He does eventually?
Well, not in his throat, but he punches him.
But I don't think you appreciate how talented he is. The old guy. He's just like a legend.
Yeah, I guess that's maybe true.
So you don't, you know, you don't get that.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. Don't you guys want to be masters? Don't you want to be legendary?
I used to want to be a master, and then I realized
no interest in being a master.
You have to sacrifice so many other things that I would like to do as well.
You mean a master in something other
like
than what
of,
we do right
of
now?
Of drums. So, well, like he was for a time down with the insane teacher because he wanted to be the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why he made his fingers bleed and just had no life aside from drums and
fucked
up his
relationship.
He wanted
to be the bird of his time.
I liked his conversations with his like half brother or whatever about football.
Yeah. I only got about half an hour in before I was like, I can't take this anymore. I just couldn't take it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I mean, it kind of reminded
me
of
really
like
bums me out.
Yeah, it reminded me of like talking to my grandmother and her friends about like because some of my uncles went to Curtis and like that world, and which is the classical world.
Uh-huh.
So it just kind of reminded me of a lot of conversations about which I never entered into because I think you know I wasn't like a 3-4 year old prodigy who was going to practice. My parents weren't going to make me practice 6 hours a day. Anand probably did that more than I did. I mean, I did.
Whiplash was like a black swan kind of thing, right? Just like a study of these torturous, rigorous schools.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's exaggerated for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. I just thought of it.
I want them to make a movie about like a guy going through architecture school. It's just so torturous.
He's breaking a lot of pencil points.
He's like, oh! Yeah. And the teacher keeps being like, are you real with this? Is this what you really want? You gotta give it all up.
He has like Frank Lloyd Wright over his bed and he's crying at it.
Is that axonometric or not? Is that axonometric or not? You know, that's the movie I'm looking forward to.
Are those Corinthian columns? Yeah, I know they are. Everybody knows.
So you guys don't want to push yourselves. Don't want to be the best.
I just said I don't. What? I didn't. I'm not on it.
Well, I mean, you're talking about
be the best at what?
You're talking about something that's a very narrow. I don't know what you.
I don't think you can be the best at being in a band.
I'm really not into like who's like the best pianist right now.
Is that a thing
for sure. And when I was growing up playing cello, I probably was like thinking about these superstars in terms of football stuff. Who's the best soccer player right now? Who's the best cello player? Definitely Yo-Yo Ma.
It's really weird for me that
but
like,
that's not
music reviewers give a rating system or numbers to music. You wouldn't do that to painting. Like, what's the number system all about?
I can think of where this criticism is going.
I mean,
I'm just like, I can see like rank. If you can rank something, basically like this gets a 7 out of 10, 7.2 out of 10.
Is there a website you're talking about?
It could be anywhere. It could be stars. I don't care what it is. I mean, it could be It's just that's a funny. So that to me links in the same thing of being the best.
Yeah.
You want to be the best? It's like, I don't really know what that. Can you win? I guess you can win. I mean,
the most rewarding.
David
thing
Bowie
is
wins for being a musician. I think, like in terms of rock bands or whatever. You know.
Yeah. So like, I'm joking with
he
that.
He didn't like that concept of winning.
Year-end lists and that sort of internet culture with music journalism sounds like you guys just don't vibe with that.
Well, that's okay. If you want to send a year-end list of your opinions,
your
of whatever
style.
You.
But
like,
that's going to be ranked, and it is going to have like the best. It's going to have like the number one album.
Right. Well, we're not making one of those.
No, I don't.
So it's just like, you guys do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's not our
thing.
We'll
maybe read it or look at it and scroll across in our feed.
I'm not into that kind of. Yeah, I mean, I could be like.
I appreciate those people for just digging through so much music, more music than I will ever listen to in a year. Like, I can't even comprehend knowing like an album a day
and the discovery aspect of it, the service of showing all that music to people who
might
get
informative.
Into it.
Yeah. No, that's a little different. That's more like this is the stuff this year that I really got into.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
I've discovered stuff from year end lists.
Definitely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How did I miss that one?
What about just with reviews? Do you guys care about the press you guys get?
Cut away the reviews. Don't read them.
Yeah.
I wish I could follow that advice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird kind of thing, right? Because you take the negative stuff. You're trying even to not expose yourself to negative stuff.
But that's all we do is expose.
But you also you can't avoid it because it also affects every other facet of what we do. It affects the way, you know, labels react, the way, you know, every press person you talk to reacts, the way publicity reacts, the way your shows go down.
And I guess
it affects so much of like the external stuff of what we do. Mm-hmm. So you can totally avoid it and not give a shit.
It's easy to really give a shit to not to give a shit if you're very, very, very successful and you're selling millions of records. Then you're like, see, the public, they know. Mm-hmm. They know the truth, even if you don't get it. But then when you don't do that, you're like, well, at least I hope the critics like me. Because they seem kind of like me. I mean, they're not exactly like me. They're kind of like my weird cousin or something.
Yeah. You know, even back in the day, Billy Joel, around the height of his popularity, would take negative reviews in newspapers out on stage with them and read them out loud and like tear them up.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That reviewer's like so psyched.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't really get that. That's
giving
them
way too much credit.
Too seriously. Seriously. Yeah.
But yeah, you guys were touching on just how reviews do impact things. Like they can have an impact on how big a festival you play or how big a stage you play at a festival. Or
and I think people are kind of scared right now to have a different opinion. You know.
Hmm.
Everyone's like kind of waiting to see what one person says.
Follow the consensus,
and then there's this maybe a later rewriting of history when a band just kind of happens, you know, regardless of their bad reviews.
Yeah, I always get bummed out when reissues gets a reissue. Yeah, now Odelay gets 5 stars. You know, it was like, oh, because when it came out to me, it seemed like it should have gotten, but you can't quite give it. I guess you can't right away, even though a lot of people are like. That's just one example that always comes to mind. Is like I remember being a really popular, great album, really well respected, but it couldn't be a classic yet.
Yeah,
it'll only be a classic 10 years down the line.
Critics don't want to be wrong. It takes a lot to take a risk and put yourself out there, calling something a classic that's just kind of unheralded. Because if you're,
that's weird. Because there is no wrong. It's still Europe. You can right. There's no right and wrong.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. It can be a classic to you. You know, I mean, based on you know your opinion, this is. A classic. This could be a classic one day. And then when it's not, and no one will remember that you said that. When it is, maybe you get to feel justified.
By the critics.
So when the new Yesayer album comes out, will you guys read reviews of it or read maybe just go back and read interviews you did?
I just hope people review it.
I just want you to...
as long as someone reviews it. Yeah.
To read them and just tell me what you think the consensus is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to read interviews myself. God,
I mean, when
idiot.
The album comes out, I feel like, I mean, at least personally, my brain is going to be in a totally different place than caring about that. I'm going to care about getting our live show together, making sure that side of it is together, you know? And that going back to kind of like, what kind of musician do you want to be a master? It's like, ideally you want to work at having a personal voice and getting better at that. And if you're in a collaborative project, that's also at times a very challenging thing to surmount and very rewarding when it works. So those are the things that if those things can coalesce, then yes, that's a goal. But I'm psyched that the album's going to come out. It's still fascinating to me when you walk into our manager's office and there's a tactile thing, you know, this
is
the fourth one we've made. So
wait, did you get a copy of it?
Yeah. You didn't get one?
I'm still waiting.
Everybody in my family gets one first.
I haven't
first.
Seen the fourth one yet. They might not be making physical objects anymore by the time this fourth album gets done.
So, yeah, you're talking about getting the live show together. When you guys put this album out and then play behind it, there's 4 albums to, you know, work with. You'll probably want to play a good amount of the new album. Have you thought about the set list yet? What old songs are going to still get played a lot? What might get bumped?
We kind of have a pretty good idea about what works and from old material. I think it's nice to play new songs that people aren't as familiar with, but then we're not that obtuse. Like we
we like playing the hits from old albums, and you know, we might dig deep into something too, play an old track that was like kind of a little something that we thought was always a gem, okay, a hidden gem.
But I mean, okay, really, what's the point? Just play the hits. I mean, the most experimental bands out there, their fans just still want to hear their most poppy songs. I think.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's got a nice
for the
mix.
Most part. Otherwise, they can listen to the album.
Yeah. Are there any songs from the Yeser albums that you look back now and just like, wow, I'm just not really into that anymore. I don't like that.
Probably all
what
the
kind
hits
of a question is that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been like 9 years.
Is there anything
now
that you've ever done in your life that you're ashamed of?
Yeah.
Do you mean like how many times do I shudder in embarrassment? When
yeah. No, they're no, all they're gems. All gems.
Everything,
all gems.
Everything we make is perfection.
Yeah, they all just stick with you and represent you for the rest of your life accurately.
Yeah, yep. Whatever. I mean, positively, you want to think that they've all been a part of a development to where you are now. But sure, there's things
they're
that
all
you,
part of
you
a,
listen to and you're like,
timeless
I never
over
make that aesthetic decision now. But that's why you're not making that music now.
No, that aesthetic decision was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was you like okay that?
Yeah, it was good.
All right, it was cool. The other aesthetic decision.
It was, yeah, that one was
still
bad.
I said I'm sorry.
I think it takes a little time to even go back and listen to your old songs.
Yeah,
like actually takes me like 6 or 7 years, and then I'm like, all right, that first album we made was pretty good. It was like, put it on, forget who it is. Mm-hmm. if it comes on.
2 years to be embarrassed by it, 6 years to appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 years for someone to say it's a classic.
Yeah.
2080, a little bit closer.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's a modern classic.
Right? Yeah, we're going to get played a lot that year. Hopefully. The publishing checks are going to roll in. I'll be dead, but...
I mean, I remember thinking when the song came out, when it was new, you guys could be alive in 2080.
Hope not.
Mm. Well, you don't want to be.
Well, no, these two could.
Okay. why is that?
I would be 98.
He eats a lot of sausage, that's all.
My grandmother's almost there. No, she's 96. Seven.
Yeah, I don't know if 98 is where. Yeah. I don't need to stick around that long. I mean, you know, hey, it's like, it's as long as you're healthy. For me, it seems a little presumptuous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been sweet if the song was like, in 2080, I'll see you there.
Now that's more positive. That's more team positive.
It's all about, like,
we'll
regular,
all be there.
Regular
be there
checkups, yeah, and like running every day.
It's just about the wonders of medical technology.
Yeah. Me and my posse will see you there. We'll be taking 2080, a hologram Instagram.
Yeah, we'll all be on the cloud then, right?
Yeah.
We'll just be fully uploaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all things considered, it sounds like 2080 is like one of the hits you guys are talking about. Like, we're still going to be playing that.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm catching on.
I don't know. We should buy that. Yeah, who knows? Maybe that will stay in the live show. We cut it for a while. We brought it back.
Yeah.
People were just booing.
Just throwing cans and tomatoes.
Bad show reviews. How come show reviews aren't a bigger thing? Why is it always the album?
I've read show reviews. It's always kind of weird. It's always... Not for us, but for anyone. It's like, and Billy Joel did not play Piano Man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, he didn't do it, I guess.
It started and the lights were down. Then the lights came up.
Well, we had a live album reviewed.
You guys got a couple live albums.
Yeah, we try to make live albums at the end of tours. I think it's a good document of that time.
Yeah.
It sort of feels good. And you can instantly put yourself... I can easily put myself on those stages at those places where we played and recorded those live albums.
Yeah, it's good mental closure.
It is
the
good.
Next live album we're going to do, it's going to be virtual reality, so you can be there.
We're actually just going to do one show, but it's going to be hologrammed around the world in real time. So we're going to play 120 shows in that one show.
That would be kind of sweet.
I'm just saying.
It's very like equal opportunity for the people. So like where you live or
but
being
the
able
show
to
that
make
we're
it
playing,
show.
Yeah. It's a secret where that real yeah. show is going to
so
be.
So it's right. not equal opportunity at all.
You're like, hello, Cleveland. What great museums you have here. Love that. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Someone just pipes it in. Hello, Detroit. Home of Motown. Love that museum you have here. This is fun.
We should talk about the new album a little bit. Go into some details, some deep dives.
Okay.
So I know that older music, maybe some of the first album, had some political vibes on it, maybe since then. Any politics coming into this album at all?
Sure, I mean, always. Yeah, a little bit, of course.
Yeah.
I think you can't, you don't need to like be overt, but I think you have to respond to your environment. At least I feel like it's important to, and politics does come into play a little bit in that. I think that if you ever read the newspaper, you might be inspired to write a song, you know, mm-hmm. about something.
Reagan's Skeleton.
There
Boom.
You go. There you go. Another underappreciated gem. Yeah. That wasn't really based on the newspaper. It was just, you know, about Ronald Reagan being a zombie who comes back from the dead. But, yeah, I mean, why not be inspired by everything you can possibly write a song about? Mm-hmm. If it's a love song, if it's a song about, you know, a cartoon that you like, or if it's politics, you might as well.
Yeah, there was an older song inspired by Bush's re-election, right?
By us?
Yeah.
I don't
or
think so.
Or written around it?
Was there?
Kind of.
Bush's re-election?
Yeah.
No.
That's just like,
if you know that, that's real. I don't know if that's... What song?
Is it Final Path?
Oh, no. Well, no, that was just... Final Path wasn't really... Well, okay. Sure, let's... Yeah, maybe that was it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like any time you're going to... It's... Yeah, I mean... If you're writing songs about the apocalypse and... You know, dystopian themes.
Yeah,
you
there's
know.
All sorts
Bush getting
of
reelected
pop.
Might have been a good yeah, kind yeah. of impetus for writing that night. You know, then we might have another great moment of clarity too. You know, when we can write songs about President Trump.
Yeah, who do you guys have a candidate of choice preference right now?
I like Jill Stein. No one seems to know about her, but she's my favorite.
I don't have any idea who that is.
She's the Green Party candidate.
The Green Party's still a thing?
Yeah, she's the one who, when I type in on the computer, like, all my views on the world, just answering, like, 20 questions, like, comes up, you should vote for Jill Stein. She shares 98% of your views.
Wow.
And then it's, you know, Bernie Sanders, 92%.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton.
I just, you know, as long as it's, I like Bernie. I can live with Hillary for sure. I can't deal with. If it's a Ted Cruz is really just
I don't think Ted Cruz is gonna win, but Ted Cruz is great for memes. Ted Cruz
for
got
you?
Some good memes.
Oh, memes? I thought you said she's great for you.
He's just like despicable, isn't he? I find him despicable in every way. I think he's just one of the most despicable human
you
beings.
You think he's worse than Trump?
I think he's worse than Trump for me.
I would have a harder time having a conversation with Ted Cruz than Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I could find some common ground with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What might that be?
New York City? Like, yeah, no, seriously, like, yeah. Just that simple thing. Like, New York City, a good restaurant. Ted Cruz is like, despises absolute. He's the absolute. He despises everything that I like.
There was a news story earlier today that I wrote about how Explosions in the Sky is pissed at Ted Cruz because they used one of their songs in a new video.
I would be pretty
them.
Pissed off.
Yeah. I would be really That's pissed pretty, off. Where do these lame. Guys get off constantly using music? Do they not realize, do like these conservative politicians not realize that pretty much the only band they can use is Ted Nugent? Just stick to Ted Nugent because everyone else hates you. You know, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I really, like, it's always so funny when they just like, what? Bruce Springsteen?
He's not a Republican?
Neil Young? He doesn't want us to use his music? I don't get it. It's like, no, yeah, guys, like, pretty much all musicians that are going to be interesting, whose music you like, they despise your politics, I think. Certainly Ted Cruz and Trump. Maybe that's overstatement. Maybe they're going to get some real conservative musicians out there.
Yeah, I mean, if they're playing it just in a venue, like at a rally, usually that's legal for the candidate. It's when they use it in a video.
That's where illegal for the candidate. Yeah, it's still.
I don't
fine.
Think they could do it at a. Do you think they could do it at a rally?
Sure, it's like a DJ playing
the venue
something.
Kind of owns
yeah,
the
it's just a live
just
show.
Didn't MGMT sue Sarkozy for playing kids at his rallies?
In yeah, was that a rally or was that a campaign?
Maybe it was a campaign.
I guess eventually everything
yeah.
gets filmed and put on
yeah.
TV.
Yes.
So
I don't know how that works. They shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Yeah,
they should just write. He should just write his own song.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we should have Trump and Cruz writing their own horrible music. Yeah.
I would buy it. Maybe kind of outsider music.
Yeah,
I'd
definitely torrent that.
Yeah. Penny whistles and xylophones.
What about, there's this like really high-pitched voice that comes up on I Am Chemistry and a little bit elsewhere in the album, like in the bridge, like the My Mother Told Me part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was singing that? How did that come about?
That is Suzzy Roach
okay.
of the band The Roaches. Do you know that band?
I don't.
Seminole. Great band.
Very cool band.
R-O-C-H-E-S.
Yeah, we were actually listening to a lot of The Roaches when we were working on our first album. Or when we were touring off of our first album, I guess. And then I saw her in a play in Manhattan for the Wooster Group called The Early Shaker Spirituals. Which was like, this. Have you heard of the Early Shaker Spirituals? You've heard of it, right?
Mm-hmm. I sang them in high school.
It's like this classic record recording some of the like last Shakers, I guess. And Suzzy was one of three people. It was Frances McDormand and Elizabeth LeCompte and Suzzy. And they were just like reenacting this record on stage with like some dancing and stuff like that. So I was like, is that the same woman as in The Roaches? And then we emailed her and she decided to sing with us, which was awesome.
So it was just like a random reach out without any like knowing before, and it worked out.
I just knew someone who was in that theater company.
Okay.
So they were able to give me the email.
Very fortuitous.
Yeah, we had some part with ideas of having female vocals on a few of the songs.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't get
prominently.
It right.
We just, you know, was trying to find the right voice, and it happened. Her voice was just inspiring, has been for a while. She sort of has a childlike quality. That worked out.
Yeah, that's why I said like a high pitched voice, because I couldn't tell if like it was kind of distorted and turned up. But she has a really interesting voice.
Yeah, she's amazing. Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Voice. Okay. Yeah. Is she on Half Asleep too?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And Gerson's Whistle.
Okay.
Right. Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other guest vocalists on the album?
Well, Lael did a little singing. Right?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much it's just us.
Bending and breaking.
Yeah,
our
just
vocal
us
cords.
Doing weird voices.
Pitching things around with tape. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a new thing for the band. That's like...
That's kind of our thing.
That's Yeah. They're trying
to
do.
Oh, yeah. That's what that's what I really
those
think...
Those guys sing weird.
That's what I really think about the album. It's like... It's just a Yeasayer album. I don't know if that
there
makes
you
happier.
There you go. End it. He
there's
said
the
it.
Pull quote.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
There's no Yeasayer album. It's just a Yeasayer album. Plain and simple.
Ba-dum-bum. It's a little Reading Rainbow reference.
Yeah, I know. Well, we set ourselves up, I think, pretty well on the first and second album to do anything we want, and I have people still be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's really weird.
Oh, you got the sound of a dragon and some little kids on there. The sound
pretty much as long as we do
synthesizer on fire and then the acoustic guitar comes in, that makes sense. Yeah.
As long as we do some singing, I think it's
next time all instrumental.
We're actually in talks with the greatest pianist in the world. He's a master.
One of the greatest.
Yeah. No, he's actually the greatest of all time.
Billy Joel. Yeah.
We're going to say, all right, we're recording now. We're going to call Yeasayer. Let's see what you can do.
10 out of 10.
How can you give him any less than 10 out of 10? He's the master.
He's the best.
He's the best.
He's the
greatest.
The best.
Yeah. How can you give him the best score? A+.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a wrap. Yeasayer, Altenar Stars. I had a blast chatting with those guys, as I think you could tell. So yeah, I really, really enjoy doing this podcast. So it means a lot to me that you guys have been listening. So thank you so much for all your support. Again, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can click the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story if you're viewing it on billboard.com. If not, you can just search Altenar Stars on iTunes. There you can subscribe to the podcast. As I said before, amazing if you give us a star rating. That helps so much with everything that we do. And aside from that, you can listen to the archived episodes. All the old stuff is there. Recently, we had Chairlift on. We had Borns on the podcast. We had Rah Rah Riot on the podcast. So yeah, hope you enjoyed this one. Till next time, new podcast runs around 12 noon afternoon every Friday on billboards.com. So until next Friday, have a good weekend, everybody. Peace out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.